where to find the key. It's gonna open up your heart to me. All I really want from you, and all I want you to do, just tell me you love me, don't you tell me no lie. Tell me you need me till the day that you die. I told you I love you and you know it's for real. Now it's time for you to tell me just how you feel. Tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel. I got to get to you somehow. I've been waiting so long now. I really don't want to let you go. If you're loving me, just tell me so. Just tell me you love me, don't you tell me no lies. Tell me you need me till the day that you die. I told you I love you and you know it's for real. Now it's time for you to tell me just how you feel. Tell me what's taking you so long. I can't wait. Someday I'll be gone and I'm telling you this is the way it got to be. Now come on baby and say that you loving only me. I'll break the promises that I made. I can see it all in your face. There's something you got to say. Just tell me you love me, don't you tell me no lies. Tell me you need me till the day that you die. I told you I love you and you know it's for real. Now it's time for you to tell me just how you feel. Tell me you love me, don't you tell me no lies. Tell me you need me till the day that you die. I told you I love you and you know it's for real. Now it's time for you to tell me just how you feel.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and that's Wayne Baker Brooks, who will be at Space in Evanston on January 5th. And you know what? Before we talk about that song, we are giving away, Wayne, two tickets.
Yep.
To the fourth caller. I love doing this.
Right on.
You know, Dan, this is like the four-year anniversary of this show.
Cool.
Nobody... Bosses must not be listening. Anyway, it makes you feel like a real radio guy. So the fourth caller at 312-981-7200 gets two tickets to your show.
That's right.
And talk about, you're going to have a band at the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Talk about your band.
Yeah, yeah. My band, it's a four-piece or sometimes a five-piece. You know, bass, drums, and second guitar and sing and play guitar. Man, you know, throughout my show, I just like to show how, where I'm from, musically speaking. So I take you on a musical journey. You know, I let you know where I'm from, musically speaking, Chicago blues, and then my father's stuff. And then I let you know where I'm at, and then where I'm going, musically speaking. So it's a show. I, you know, a lot of people say they love my show because I'm very entertaining, but I'm also educating at the same time.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's why we like having you on this show.
Yeah, right on.
Is that a Fender Strat?
Yes. Yep.
Where'd you get that?
Guitar Center.
Yeah?
Yeah. And look who I got to sign it. BB, Buddy, and Otis Rush.
It's signed by Otis Rush. We just lost him. BB King?
Yeah.
Wow. Buddy Guy.
Yeah.
94. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So how long have you been playing that?
Since 1991.
1991?
Yep.
Okay. So tell me about that song you did.
Tell Me. That was a song that I wrote with Mr. Bruce McCabe. Bruce McCabe is from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he played with Johnny Lang for a long time, but he also wrote a lot of songs for Johnny Lang. One in particular called Lie to Me. And that's his most famous hit, his biggest hit. And, you know, I became friends with Bruce a little bit before he joined Johnny's band. And I actually met Johnny for the first time when he was 14 years old down in Memphis.
Yeah.
When he first got his first deal, you know, with A&M. And, you know, I was the guitar tech for my dad while he was recording his album. And they made me go get something, you know, to eat for the band. And as I was walking back to the studio, I hear this, Mr. Brooks, Mr. Brooks, because I was playing then too, but he, Mr. Brooks. And I turned around and it was Johnny Lang. He was like, hey, man, I love your stuff, man. You know, I watch you, Ronnie M, your dad, and I love you guys, man. And I was like, oh, we'll come to the studio. So I got to meet Johnny. But then when I heard the song, I was like, oh, man, who wrote that? He was like, oh, Bruce McKay wrote it. So I saw Bruce probably like a week later. And I said, hey, man, I love that track, you know, that you wrote. You know, he's like, yeah, I wrote that in the 70s, man. We just redid it. And he was like, man, I got to write you one, man. I said, well, let's do it. I said, if we write one together, I ain't going to be talking about Lie to Me. I want you to not lie to me. So that's where we went with it. We went with, you know, tell me you love me. Don't tell me no lie.
Uh-huh.
Tell me you need me to the day that you die. So, yeah.
In that motif that you played solo, you heard a little bit of a gut bucket country thing and stuff. But that's what I wanted to touch on, what you just said about your show at Space on January 5th. About where you're going. And before the show started, we talked about some of the people you've collaborated with. I mean, you don't have any limitations on genre. We just touched on that in the last segment about hip-hop.
Yeah.
But you did I seem to remember you did an Aerosmith tribute album.
It was
a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, Aerosmith, you know, here's the thing, man. You know, everything that I do will be blues-based because that's where I'm from. You know, that's where I'm born into it. You know, I always look back, you know, that time when I was like 6 years old, helping my dad write songs and, you know, keeping the beat for him while he's thinking of words, and mm-hmm. we would help him chime in and everything. And, you know, when I look back at that, it's more of like, you know, to me, it's more of like my first songwriting class. So when I write music, it's always blues based, you know. Because of that, because it's the roots, it's my roots. So I'm not afraid to, you know, bend the genre a little bit, you know, because one, blues do need fresh air. Sometimes.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
You know, if we'd have, like, you know, stopped Chuck Berry from doing his thing, where would music be? If we'd have stopped.
Even Chuck Berry, I mean, some of that stuff like Havana Moon, putting a little calypso into that, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, just imagine what happened if, you know, Chess was like, nah, you know, leave that alone.
Yeah.
You know, stick to the blues, you know. What would music be?
Yeah.
You know, if he'd have did that with Muddy.
Yeah.
You know, where would music be? So that's how I always approach music, like, okay, you know, maybe this will be a new genre or something, or maybe this would be a new sound that, you know.
I don't know if you see this in the clubs so much. I mean, Otis Clay was on the show a few times, and we always talked about with Otis the difficulties of getting maybe a soul review onto the North Side, where it's kind of people expect traditional blues.
Mm-hmm.
One time I've told this story, where I was in the studio years ago with Artie Blues Boy White at Malico,
mm-hmm.
and the producer held up an imaginary bottle. He says, a lot of people want to put blues in a bottle, the traditionalists, and mm-hmm. blues, like you just said, it has to breathe, it has to evolve and stuff. Do you find, especially being a Chicago-based artist, I mean, is it sometimes hard to bend genres?
Sometimes a lot of, and there's a lot of this going on now, a lot of the artists here in Chicago fall into this this blues thing where, you know, they want to keep it traditional,
right?
You know, and that's okay, because, you know, we do need to protect the history of it. But at the same time, you're only going to get so far with it. You know, you're only going to, I mean, if you're an artist and you want, you know, I'm speaking for myself, I would like as many people as possible to, you know, tune in to what I'm doing. And every artist wishes that, you know, and in order to do that, you know, because blues is not respected with mainstream. Let's put it, you know, put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really respected. It should be. A lot of the rock stars, they love blues. You know, Rolling Stones, Aerosmith, you know, a lot of those guys love blues and they cherish, you know, these guys and us. But then you get, you know, like rap stars that don't even know nothing about blues, that don't give it no respect, you know, at all. You know, so that's what we are up against, you know, being respected, you know, although it's loved worldwide, it's just not respected with, you know, radio, TV, you know, the media that can catapult the music into other people. Norm Weiner, who was the guy at XRT,
right.
He said he would put together a playlist long before, you know, a long time ago. He would put together a playlist and for this, like, top 40 thing that he was doing. It was outside of XRT, but it was played nationally. And he said he threw in Muddy Waters' I Just Want to Make Love to You, and the phone lit up, the switchboard, to every station that was played it. That was planted, lit up, because they was like, who is that?
Right.
They was like, who is this?
Yeah.
They didn't know who it was. They didn't know it was Muddy, but they loved the song.
Yeah, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So if someone would just let it, you know, let it in, it would help.
You have a new product coming out in 2019?
This music industry is really weird.
Well, that's where I'm going with that. Yeah.
It's really weird, man, you know. So I've been releasing singles and EPs lately, and that's because people aren't buying
that's
singles.
Exactly what's my, because I'm going on what Zoe said too about, I wanted to ask you about distribution. I mean, you know, digital. I mean, how do you get the music out there to people? You were just saying people
aren't digitally
buying. Yeah,
that's, you know, I didn't press the last EP because you know, it was easier to, you know, do the distribution. And plus, you know, only time I will sell CDs is at my shows. I sell them, you know, in droves at the show. But as far as like retail stores and stuff like that, distribution, you know, mm-mm.
Yeah, we got to take a break. But one thought before we take the break is, I mean, maybe you have older blues fans who aren't digitally connected.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Do you want to keep talking? Or do you want to play another song? You're riding shotgun here, so it's up to you.
I since this is a talk show, I could talk all night, man.
Well, maybe we'll play a little bit, just a snippet of
a
song.
All right.
Don't go away after the spots on Nocturnal Journal.
She's hot like red pepper, sweet like cherry wine. I'm so glad she's loving me all the time. She's my little baby, just as sweet as she could be. All the love she's got, it belongs to me. When you hear me howling, calling on my darling, ooh, ooh, ooh-wee. Every time she kisses me, makes my lights go out. Early in the morning, she makes me jump and shout. That bad love she's got makes me laugh and cry. Makes me really know that I'm too young to die. When you hear me howling, calling on my darling, ooh, 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 yeah. Thank you.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. That's Wayne Baker Brooks covering Howlin' Wolf. You know, one time I interviewed Sam Phillips down in Memphis, and the guy who discovered Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
And he told me, you know, I think he said this to other people too, but Howlin' Wolf had the greatest voice he ever heard.
Oh, yeah, man. Buddy told me, he said, man, he said it was the reason why they can sing so good is because when they talk, they sang already.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, right. You're right about that.
Yep.
So we gave away two tickets to Joseph from Itasca, avid listener. So thanks, nice. Joseph. So that's two tickets to Space. Give us the setup again at Space in Evanston on, what is it, January 5th?
Saturday, January 5th. And I do believe we start at 8 o'clock, or the doors open at 7.
Okay.
I think we start at 8. Yep. And, Joe, make sure you come and say something to me, man, when you get there.
You're a man of the people. You know, I got something corny. I was thinking about, I was going to ask how your brother was doing.
He's good.
Do you play together much?
Not.
Because I had a sponsorship deal for you.
Oh, you did?
Has anyone ever said this to you? You should get, like, Brooks Brothers suits.
I know, right?
You guys dressed up in Brooks Brothers suits?
I was waiting for them to call, man. They should have been calling a long time ago, you know, because I think I look good.
Is that the first
Brooks
you've heard that? Or that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm still waiting on Brooks Brothers to call me, man.
Yeah. What's the age difference in you guys?
He's 3 years older.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you played much together in the past? Or?
Well, we did the Brooks family thing, you know.
Yeah, right.
When Dad, left the booking agent, he was like, Wayne, all right, you booking. And he said, I want you to start booking the Brooks family stuff. So I started booking the Brooks family thing, and the show consisted of me opening up the set, then Ronnie in the middle, and then Dad closed it out, and then we all play together at the end.
I've said this before in the 2 minutes we have left. You've talked about this before on the show with us, but your sense of business acumen, I mean, you're real good at this. You have to do that these days. Like you said, you're 100% independent.
Yeah.
You really have to know the game.
Yeah.
And you make yourself known. Like I said, I your buddy guys, we saw you, or you played,
yeah,
and then you came to the chess thing. I mean, you're out there with the, you know, doing stuff.
Absolutely. That's because I care about the genre, man. Uh-huh. I love the music, and I love to play it, and I love to, you know, hear other people play it as well. And but, you know, it is a business. It's show business. And, you know, I'm never that guy to wait for someone to do anything for me. You know, I'll, you know, do whatever it takes to, you know, get to where I need to be. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, praise me for that. Even someone's just mentioned that. I think it was Johnny Lang's old manager, Mickey Mulvihill. She said, the one thing I love about Wayne is, you know, he takes charge of his own career, and no one helps him. He just does it, and he does really, really good at it. And, you know, to me, that's a compliment coming from someone who just, that's all they do is business, you know, the business of music. And, you know, I took it as a compliment because, you know, I do work hard, you know, with the business part too, because I love to get up on that stage and play.
Was there a certain imprint from your father, Lonnie? I mean, stuff you saw, stuff he told
Absolutely.
You. There had to be.
Absolutely, man. The first thing that I saw that my dad, you know, changed was he got his own publishing, and I was like right there with my mom, you know, and him, and she was like, no, you got to get your own publishing because that's where the money is at. So that inspired me. My mom showed me how to, you know, get the publishing company. But then I hung out with Marie Dixon.
Oh, yeah.
And Shirley Dixon, Willie Dixon's wife and daughter. And I went to them with a song of mine called Sooner or Later. And I said, hey, you know, I'm throwing lyrics, evil lyrics. Can I, you know, put, you know, Willie's, you know, lyrics in my music? And they came back a week, was like, nah, we can't do it. She was like, you know what, just write your own stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll show you how to make money off of your publishing company. So they took me in for like a 3-day boot camp in their house in L.A. and showed me how to do publishing the right way.
Good for you. Good. So give us your website, how people can find out more about you.
WayneBakerBrooks.com. Everything is there. All the information, bio, music, videos, and T-shirts and everything.
January 5th at Space.
January 5th at Space. And I'm in Round Lake Beach in February. I'm at Rivers Casino in February.
Over there in Des Plaines?
Des Plaines, yeah, right. Yep.
Yeah. And you're on WGN Morning News?
January 4th.
4th.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And thanks Dan Long. Thanks Aubrey Mumpower. And thank you.
Thank you, man. Thank you.